It's Tuesday night right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. And thank you all for tuning in. Still got some folks filtering in. Come on in from the back. this is the Bad Batcast live show right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. And it's good to see everybody in here. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2011. And everybody's getting geared up for Thanksgiving. Got the landing crew on the line there. He is stuck in traffic in New Jersey. It's kind of sounds like a Spike Jones movie script or something, man. How you doing, Mark? Besides
I'm doing
wanting
better.
To kill people.
Yeah. I'm actually on Long Island, on the west side of Brooklyn, finally. So I'm actually hitting, if people know or have any idea, the Southern State Parkway. I'm making the turn off from, the Bell Parkway. Hooray for me. I can actually get up past 20 miles an hour. Woohoo! I'm excited right now.
That drives me crazy. I'll tell you what, I'm pretty laid back most of the time, but get me in event traffic or heavy traffic or something like that, and I'm not so... I'm not such a nice guy, after all. So, anyway, we're in here, we're talking about kayak fishing, of course. Does a one-legged duck swim in a circle?
Quack.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so, if you're in New Jersey, beware of the landing crew.
New Jersey already had my
okay. Well, if you're in New York.
My truck has paid the price. I did break my horn already by punching my steering wheel. Luckily, the airbag did not go off.
Nice.
And, yes, I am using a hands-free device. So, for all those people going, he's talking to the wheel while he's driving. Well, it's hands-free, so shh.
All right. Well, let's see. So just a little bit of news real quick before we get to the subjects at hand here. Don't forget the Kayak Fishing Radio boondoggle, Yak Angler boondoggle, is coming up on February 17th, 2011 in Chokoloskee. And my caller dropped, so area code 678. Give a call back if you get a chance. We're going to be in Chokoloskee, Florida, which is way down south. It's, put some Allman Brothers on for you, and it's southbound. And there you go, man. So make sure that you're get all signed up for that. There's a boondoggle page right on the kayakfishingradio.com homepage there with some details and some links. If you're not a member of yakangler.com, we advise you to do so. And we think that you'll like that too if you like kayak fishing. So make sure you pay attention to that. We got a bunch of people coming, man. So if you can get a spot down there, if you can't stay where we are staying, help me out, Mark. What's the place called again?
The Chokoloskee State Park or Everglades. It's one of those.
It's a mom and pop. It's like a fishing camp, and you just had to ask me. Hold on a second, and I'm finding the information now as we speak. But anyway, you need to, if you haven't booked your site and your accommodations and major plans, there's still hope. Come on, help me out here. Got to make me go through all of this. I should have had all this stuff up. I got enough windows up already. Hold on one second. Of course, the information is not there.
Hurry up.
Anyway, so, we're boondoggling, we're camping out, kayak fishing, we're eating food and having a good time, man. So there's lots of snook, redfish, tarpon, sharks, all sorts of stuff in that area. It's a great place to fish. It's remote. It's in the backcountry, but there are showers and bathrooms and toilets and stuff like that. So just what we like. So make sure that you – that's President's Day weekend 2012. It's coming up a few short months away, so make sure that you're – make sure you're looking at that, man. Make your plans now. I'm not positive or not. I mean, I'm not positive, but I think that the place that we are staying is booked up, but there are accommodations close by. So, with that said, we'll also you can follow me at abadbatcast.com if you're so inclined. I got another video up. Over the weekend, I had a really good fishing trip. We were fishing around Weedon Island, and I think I found my new favorite fishing spot. Right now is the time of year. There it is, chuckalowski.com. Chuck has dropped before I got a chance to talk to him. I think he's out to dinner or something. So sorry, Chuck, that I didn't get to you. And Lost Landing Crew. Sorry, Mark. It wasn't me. I promise. There's my latest video in the chat room. You can, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see it, go to my blog, abadbatcast.com, and it's right there. I got area code 978 on the phone. Is that Russ, the Salt Warrior?
No, Rob, it's Hammerhead.
Hey, Greg, how are you, man? Long time no talk.
I'm doing okay. Yeah. Work's a bitch, but
Yeah,
how's it going?
Oh,
at least
good.
You're getting out fishing. I haven't been fishing since the boondoggle. It's
oh my god.
It's been rough.
I guess New Hampshire, that's you guys can only fish for a couple of months out of the year, man, unless you're ice fishing, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I could have gotten out a few times, but it's just been working like 70-hour weeks and stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to make up for a slow year. It's hard
That's
to complain because
okay.
I spent more time on the water this year than I have in probably the last three combined. But,
wow, that's good.
You know, miss
the
second
half. You can.
Yeah,
but
the second half of October and November, really. So, oh well.
Yeah. All right, we got the landing crew back. I have the opposite problem, Greg. I got 4-day weekends all month long, so I'm doing good. And I actually got a 5-day weekend coming up this weekend, so I'm good.
Yep.
I only got to work. Well, I work today, and we got to work tomorrow, and I don't have to be back till next Tuesday. So I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Going to get
That's
some fishing
good.
In. But over the weekend, man, it was like, it was on, man, around Weedon Island. There were redfish kind of tight to the shorelines there and everything, and mangroves and everything. Everything was really, it was happening, man. So saw a lot more fish than I caught, but... you'll have that. You know, there was like a little cut-in, like a little miniature bay, you know, that would stick back in the mangroves. And it, you got to understand, the mangrove shorelines that we were fishing, they're deep right up to the shoreline. It's, you know, right up to where the mangroves come into the water. It's pretty deep water there. It was pretty neat. And you could see, for the first time ever, I've never seen this before, is you'd see... I saw flounder chasing down my, you know, I'd get it within about a rod's length of the boat and, you know, or the kayak, and I'd see a fish, and I was like, what is that, man? And it's a flounder, and, you know, I'm used to seeing flounder sitting on the bottom, and these fish were, vertical, swimming like a regular fish, chasing it down, man, chasing down a, you know, curly-tailed jigs and stuff. So it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat to see. You ever see that before, Greg?
No, I haven't seen much of that. Normally, out here when we're fishing flounder, it's, you know, 20, 30 feet of water. So a little bit different, but
okay.
But they do, you know, I've caught them, you know, fishing for, you know, striped bass and other things on, you know, jigs and stuff that I was swimming along the bottom and, you know, bam, they'll hit it. So they'll chase things.
Yeah. And I saw that a couple of times and over the weekend. And that was just that was a first for me. I've never seen I've seen them chase stuff down, you know, swimming flat, like, you know, like they look. But that was the first time and it was, you know, multiple times they were vertical, just like a regular fish. And I was having a hard time figuring out what it was until I caught one. And then I was like, oh, okay, gotcha. Because they look, to me, they look a little bit different when they're, you know, swimming vertical as opposed to flat. But that was pretty neat. And several times I saw some redfish, you know, once again, it would get within the rod's length of the boat and before I saw it. And a couple of times a redfish was, you know, charging. And usually when, you know, I get it within a rod's length of the boat, I'm thinking, you know, okay, it's, you know, time to reel this in real quick and give it a, you know, toss it again. Go ahead and cast it again. And it was, you know, several times I saw a couple of nice redfish chasing it down. But I did get one and did get a mangrove slam. I was you know, one snook shy of getting the mangrove grand slam. So got a nice, you know, probably about a 15 or 16-inch redfish, a 10-inch flounder, and a 22-inch trout. So that was the day. And that trout was the last thing that I would expect to see back there, man. That was totally, that was a big surprise, man. When I first saw it, I thought it was a redfish. So that was a pleasant surprise because there's no grass back there whatsoever. It's all mud bottom, sandbars, oyster bars, you name it. And that was the last thing I expected to see. And it was a deep edge on right next to, you know, the mangrove shoreline. And right where I was fishing, it was probably about 6 to 7 feet deep right next to the shoreline. So that was, you know, I was just casting parallel to the shoreline and pulling stuff back because right now the redfish are up in the shallows, up in the around, you know, around the bend, around, you know, in these little nooks and crannies, I like to call them, and they're, you know, looking for fiddler crabs and little, you know, blue crabs and hermit crabs and things like that. So this is the time of year for it. And so that's what I was looking for was, you know, trying to get some redfish and, you know, just swimming and twitching some little DOA. Man, what is that? Somebody working on their car? anyway, you know, just kind of twitching some DOA shrimps and some curly tails. And that was the whole tactic of the day. And lo and behold, that trout came up and ate it. And that was the last thing I expected to see. So that was a pleasant surprise. So check out the video if you haven't seen it. Actually, I couldn't believe it. The weather, the camera, and the fish all kind of cooperated together for me to put together a little five-minute video. So I was kind of happy about that. I'm getting better at it. There's a learning curve involved. I know the first couple of videos that I put together were kind of lame, but it was more of a test than anything to see if I could actually, you know, put together something halfway decent. So I was, you know, if I knew how to run the Mac and all of that stuff, man. So anyway, oh man, so everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving. Greg, are you traveling on Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, I'm going home actually tomorrow. I've been working down in Connecticut.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't realize that. I thought you were I thought you were up there, but
yeah, I've been going back and forth. It's only, you know, a 2.5-3 hour trip from where I'm at, so It's not
everybody,
like,
is everybody, is everybody coming to your house?
Yeah, actually, I got my dad and mom are coming down, and a brother that's coming in with his girlfriend. So we'll have a
cool.
few people over. So
good deal, man. Just traditional stuff? You got anything weird on the menu? Or, you know, not weird, but something that's not turkey or ham?
I don't think we're going to do anything weird or out of the ordinary this year.
Cool.
I think we're just going to keep it a regular turkey in the oven and not break out a fryer or a smoker or anything like that. Just keep it plain and simple.
Cool. All right, man. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Black Friday also. So that's awesome. All right, man, we got a couple of folks here on the line that have been waiting, and we got area code 601. You're on the air at Kayak Fishing Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, it's Russ, Salt Warrior.
Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
Man, things are going okay. How about yourself?
Man, you know, here's a guy, you know, the Salt Warrior here lives in Venice, Louisiana, and was telling me the other day after watching my video that they caught so many bull reds the other day that they were tired of it. Okay.
We were trying to catch. We were in a tournament trying to catch trout and flounders, and the bull reds kept biting. You know, and it would take us 30 minutes to get them in, and they drag us halfway across the bay, and you know, it was just
isn't that terrible?
It was miserable. Miserable.
That's terrible to have. You know, something is annoying as a big giant redfish come up and eat.
I'm telling you. We were under a deadline. You know, we had to be at the weigh-in at 3, so we had to get, you know, head that way about 1:30, you know, get out of the water, you know. So
I didn't realize you were fishing a tournament. Okay.
Yeah. We're fishing a tournament. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to catch one, but when you start catching 3 or 4, it's like, you know, after a while, you're like.
And it was just a trout and flounder tournament?
Yeah, it was the best stringer, 5 trout with a flounder for a kicker. Yeah, it was the Angler of the Year tournament for the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club that's world famous
okay.
right now out there on the Yak Angler.
Yeah, so. and he's saying that because a couple of months ago somebody posted something about one of their tournaments and I'm going to say this lightly, it's what they call a kill tournament, quote unquote. And I don't sit there and I'm not down in it or anything like that. If everybody, you know, legal limits, you know, the bag limits and everything here, Russ, the reason some people were kind of freaking out about that was because you guys got some pretty big bag limits up there. You know, it's 12 inch is a keeper and what is it?
25, 12 inch trout.
25
yeah.
a day. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So. But I'm
yeah, well, I was in yeah, I was in Florida last year, and you know, I was surprised that the spotted sea trout, like you guys call it, was out of season. I was catching specks, and I couldn't keep them, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. So
yeah, and it's the thing is, you know, if they got a regulation in place like that, mm-hmm. you know, that must mean that the sea trout population up there is pretty safe, you know, because that's a pretty liberal bag limit and size length, you know, in my opinion. Now, you know, for Florida, for all of you, you know, I have FWC.com up, and I just wanted to get my stuff straight because once in a while they change stuff. So this is good up until December 31st. Let me just scroll down.
There's different zones for Florida,
it.
Too, right?
What's that?
Florida's got different zones, and they have, you know.
They have close seasons in this county and close seasons in other counties certain times of the year. And if it's north of this line, you can keep them. But if it's south, you can't, and so on and so forth. But
and if you don't keep fish at all like you do, then it's not really your concern
right.
at all. So you would not be.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I like to be aware of the regulations, you know, just because mm-hmm. if – for instance, if I'm fishing with a friend or something and I catch a legal fish and they want to take it home with them or something, if they say, if I was fishing with you and you said, hey, do you mind if I take that fish home? I'd say, no, go ahead. You know, that's you can do that. I would do that, you know. So I would just want to make sure that everything is, you know, so that I know. So because the worst fish to ever get caught with is an illegal fish, because they will crucify you up one side and down the next, man. FWC has, once in a while, they'll post things where they busted somebody. Recently, one of the ones that I read, and I'm like, you know, to me it's like world's dumbest criminals, you know, if you don't know, that still doesn't excuse anything, but they caught a guy with a sea turtle in his cooler.
Ooh, gosh, that's not good. I lived in Florida for a while. Yeah, there's like sea turtle freaks that get out on the beach every night and watch them and everything.
People worship sea turtles around here, man.
Yes.
I mean, you can't even like go to the beach during sea turtle nesting season and stuff, you know, which is, you know, it's understandable. You know, you want to protect that resource, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every little thing, you know, all of these fish play a part in the ecosystem, you know, and each is an important part, you know. As much as I hate needlefish, lately there's like a bane, the needlefish are like a bane of my existence. I absolutely hate needlefish because for some reason the needlefish population, houndfish or whatever you want to call them, I call them needlefish, is huge for some reason this year. I don't remember seeing this many needlefish ever, and they're like everywhere. It used to be pinfish, now it's needlefish. So pins and needles, man, those things are oh man, they're a pain. So but anyway, yeah, but it plays a part in the ecosystem around here. I'm sure that needlefish are important to some extent to the entire fishery. So I don't throw firecrackers at them or catch them and stick firecrackers in their mouth as much as I'd like to. So anyway, yeah, the reason that, you know, a lot of people were like kind of freaking out, and it looked like old school, you know, remember like some, if you've ever seen old antique pictures back in the day, and people have like giant clotheslines full of fish, you know, it kind of looked like that.
Eagle Claw hook packages.
Yeah.
You know, even to this day.
Yeah.
You know, they put the stringers of trout, you know, with people with these, you know, hundreds of trout, and, you know, hell, you can barely buy a trout in some places now.
Right. So, in my opinion is, if it's legal and everybody sticks to the bag limits and the size limits and all that, then more power to you, man. That's good.
Well, I mean, you know, Louisiana, they got two things down. You know, We have two things down here, you know, oil and fish, right? And they're all over, both of them. That's all they've got. You know, there's no agriculture, really. I mean, not down in the South, anyway. You know, but it's, you know, it's all they've got. So they really protect it. You know, it's a bread and butter for a lot of people, you know. So they're all over it, you know. So if it was, something was wrong, they would fix it, you know.
Sorry, and Rob, I think that the key is that, you know, you know, with the liberal bag limit like that, nothing goes to waste. You know what I mean? Greg can attest to this. You know, back in the 80s and early 90s, you know, even in the 70s, you know, you drive home from surf fishing all night long and you pass garbage cans and dumpsters filled with bluefish pouring out. I mean, we're talking monster chomper blues, you know, 15, 20-pound bluefish, you know, trophy size now. You know, and even as a kid seeing that, you know, I was brought up that, you know, that's a waste. You know, I had the family that, you know, if you shot the sparrow in the backyard, guess what you're eating that night for dinner? That sparrow. So, you know, you appreciate, you know, the life, but nothing goes to waste. You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, as long as nothing's being wasted, anything, you know, anything's being used, you know, that can be used, you know, go for it. But the moment things start getting abused is when, you know, here come the bunny lovers, you know, and that's the last thing any of us need.
No, and, you know, just because I'm vegetarian doesn't mean that, you know, that I'm, like, against people, keeping fish or whatever. Just because I'm catch and release only doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's just my choice, you know, and I'm not going to beat somebody over the head for being like that. Now, you got to make sure that you stick to your regs, though, man. That's definitely important.
Mm-hmm. Well, around here, if you don't, you know, it's bad. I mean, we had something go down last week where this guy, they went over the limit. This guy encouraged his clients to go over the limit. They went over the limit, and they took his $250,000 airboat and some other. I mean, it was like a $250,000 fine, and he took his, you know, took his $70,000 super souped up airboat. That I don't really dig those coming around anyway. You know, so he scared the fish for like 10 miles. You know, but anyway, you know, it's, you know, they put in pretty hard. You know, I mean, you don't want to mess around with that stuff.
And they should, you know, I mean,
yeah,
seriously,
they should.
That's what regulations are in place, not, you know, for people to be idiots, you know, and say, well, you can't do this or that. Regulations are there to protect the fishery, you know, because if you don't, you're going to be there and your kids or somebody else's kids aren't going to be able to catch fish. Does anybody know of a species that used to be that is, like, non-existent anymore due to overfishing? Can you think of anything?
Great trout.
I'm not saying, what is it?
Gray trout in the Chesapeake Bay. If you catch a legal size or trophy size gray trout, you are doing something. And especially here on Long Island, too. You cannot buy a gray trout.
Hmm.
Yep.
You can't.
The last 2 years at Jay Bay, nobody caught any.
No kidding.
There's been no slams the last 2 years.
In the 80s, I had the great, you know, before he passed away, Andy Rooney, if you look at the world record books under gray trout, he caught the world record gray trout in Jones Beach a day after I was born in 84. And
Is that Andy Rooney, news journalist Andy Rooney?
No. Different Rooney.
Okay.
But, he's, you know, he was a detective for the NYPD, great man, you know, cancer, real bad deal.
How big
but,
was the record?
I want to say a little under 30 pounds.
Okay.
Which is a monster gray trout.
Yeah, and that's the record.
You know, there's actually a picture I got to find from my grandmother of me as a newborn laying next to this gray trout, because my family was really close with him, and the gray trout, you know, you take about three of me as a baby, you know, to match the size of this gray trout in length. It's just amazing. But,
wow.
But yeah, I mean,
you were a baby
in the 80s. Yeah, he caught it the day after I was born. But the, you know, in the 80s, in the early 90s, great trout were everywhere, especially in the bay. From when I talked to some of the old timers, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, it was a time to catch monster great trout in the bay. Now,
and they just
you can't catch a legal great trout. Yeah. Luckily enough, I was fishing about 2 months ago, and there were so many, you know, 6- and 8-inch great trout, you know, hitting my lure. I mean, just one after the other. It was incredible that I was actually feeling better because, you know, Virginia's has a one bag limit. I think it's got to be like 14 inches or something like that, which, you know, none of these fish were 14. It shows that they're coming back, you know. But, you know, we're going from that stage where in, you know, the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, you know, even modern times, where we had these real liberal bag limits, you know. You could keep as many as you want, and people weren't as informed as they are now. I think that's a better term, is that, you know, we're informed now, you know, knowing that, you know, the sheep's head in the Chesapeake Bay, you know, once they get over, you know, 20 inches are like 25 years old or something like that, you know what I mean? So now we know, and so now we can be informed, and they can pass the knowledge, you know, so if you're going to keep a sheep's head over 20 inches or something like that, you know, release it, but take one of the smaller ones, the 18 or 15 inch ones. You know what I mean? So the knowledge base is building, and I think, you know, through that, better conservation will come of it.
Absolutely, and I'm not a big conservation. You know, I'm not going to beat people over the head about conservation. I'm for it, and I think that people should. But I've seen many, many good fishing blogs turned into political you know, just puke fests constantly. And it's good to be conservation minded, but when you know beat people over the head with it is when you know, I don't know about that. But anyway, yeah, that's just me. I'm not like telling people, you know, you should be catch and release only. But that's just my take on it, man. You know, I'm vegetarian or semi-vegetarian, and I'm not telling everybody they should be semi-vegetarian, man. So I'm all about it. Just, you know, keep up with your regulations in your area. If you're in Florida, FWC updates their regulations about every 6 months. So make sure that you pay attention to that. If they amend something and you don't know about it and you're stuck with an illegal fish is still an illegal fish. So it's your own fault. So it's myfwc.com. To keep abreast of the latest and the greatest of your always popular and always dreaded kayak.
And you got to see come down and check it out.
Regulations
around here, Rob. I mean,
absolutely, man.
We do the Bayou Boondoggle that they're talking about, you know, and
yeah,
get you guys together
because yeah,
you know it's funny that it's my two primary sites, you know, Bayou Coast and yeah, Kangler. I was just I was on Bayou Coast today looking around, and the guys were saying, "Gosh, what's going on in Yak Angler?" And I'm like, "Yak Angler, what are you guys doing on there?" So I jumped on there and started looking around. I'm like, "Holy crap!" They're just like, someone just got on there and just, you know,
they were the reason I missed that was the post initially went up like 10 months ago.
yeah, it got reignited somehow. Someone in our group just Googled Bayou Coast BC, the initials BC. KFC, and the first thing that pops up is that post on Yak Angler that's negative, and they were like, "Whoa, what is this?" You know.
So
happened.
If you kept on reading through the post, yeah, there were enough of us that stepped in. You know, myself, Chip Gibson, who said, "Whoa, hang on for a second here." It was everything was legal, you know, and nothing was wasted, you know, and you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Compare that to compare what they caught. It was 600 some odd pounds, right? Total fish.
Yeah.
Between all the anglers. You take that number and go to a commercial guy and say, if you caught that number in a day, would you be pleased with yourself? And he will tell you straight off the bat that, you know, that would be an awful day. That he probably couldn't cover his gas cost. You know what I mean? So, you know, everything is relative. You know, yeah, it's not for commercial, but you know, they get pounded a heck of a lot more by a lot worse things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. I'm friends with you guys. I'm friends with those guys, and I just felt like it's kind of my place just to get on here and just talk to you guys.
I'm glad to bring everybody together.
You know,
I'm glad you brought my attention to it, man. Because I hadn't seen it. It was the later half of the day and everything. So, but I'm glad that you did. You know, because I always. You know, I don't want people to be mad at me because I'm associated with the Yak Angler or something, you know, and somebody made somebody mad or something like that. You know, I mean, I am.
You know, Chip and I have been talking about
a
boondoggle down here, you know, and I'd want to get the club involved in it, you know, kind of like the club was up in South Carolina, you know.
I think we got to do Virginia Beach first, though, because everybody's banging the drum about Virginia Beach and or Chesapeake or something up there. And by the way, hold on 1 second, guys.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Okay. And speaking of Chesapeake Bay, Kayak Kevin's in the house. And I would like to urge folks, and I'm sure Mr. Wheeler can attest to this, make sure that you, if you're looking for stocking stuffers for your favorite fishing person, namely yourself, pick up a copy of Kayak Fishing the Chesapeake Bay 2 from Kayak Kevin, and you won't be disappointed. Everybody's all the trailers I've seen for it are awesome, and everybody that has talked about it has said it's really really good. So
it's an excellent, really well done. And folks, when the opening credits start. And he has the warning, you know, not like the jackass warning where it's like, you know, these are professionals. It's just warning. You know, some of these places, you could possibly get killed. It's the truth, you know. So, you know, take it as it is, you know. Yeah, you know, you see Kevin and the rest of those guys, you know, they're doing it. But I've talked to Kevin a couple of times where he's like, man, that was hairy, dude. You know, that was some rough stuff out there, and I was even scared. So, you know, that, you know, take it as, you know, as it is. And, you know, it's a great video. He explains everything, you know, really well, really concise. And, you know, it's, you know, you can definitely tell progression between the first DVD Kevin made, you know, to this one now. The Chesapeake Bay Tour, it's, folks, pick up the combo pack, because you can do, yeah, you know, really see a difference in between the, you know, how great the Chesapeake Bay Tour one was. I play that like once every month because it's just so cool. And then, you know, this newest one, it's like, oh, Kevin, you never told me that. Really? Come on, man. You know, kind of thing. So. You know,
yeah, I like to second that. You know, I bought all three of them also, you know, and I watched the first two. I'm saving the best for last here. Probably going to watch it here next couple of days. But, yeah, they both inspire me to go fishing, you know, and go touring even. You know, so I really got a lot out of it. It's awesome.
There's a lot of work that goes into that, man. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's not easy. You got to be on the water a lot to be able to get all that footage, number one. And then all that editing and stuff is a hard road to hoe too. And, you know, he's doing that on like a Windows computer, man. So, you know, he's not even using a Mac edit. And
this last video, there were moments where I thought Kevin was going to throw his computer. And, you know, cry and, you know, oh man, I felt so bad for him right at the end there. He had some issues. I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I wish I could help you, man. But,
It's a little bit of work putting, you know, just my little crappy, you know, short little videos that I put out, man. Those, you know, I just started doing it, and it's not an easy thing. And the other day, the latest video that I just did, I just got done with it, and I watched it, and I put it on full screen mode just to watch it and make sure everything was cool with it. And when I went back to iMovie, it was all of a sudden iMovie had to stop working. And when I went back and reopened it and everything and got back, it was gone. So all of the, you know, and I was like, so I had to go back and, you know, just put it all back together again. It wasn't quite the same, but whatever, you know. It's, I love it. I still love doing it, man. So I finally got the fish in the weather and, you know, the camera to cooperate. So, yeah, but anyway, there's a lot of work that goes into that, man. So, you know, definitely pick it up if you're into kayak fishing and you want to see that stuff. That, you know, watching the first two, that made me want to go up there and go fishing. So I'm pulling for a Chesapeake/Virginia, Richmond, whatever, boondoggle up there to go fishing. So.
Come on down.
Y'all,
Rob, I got to get going, man.
My next one that I'm lobbying for, too, is I'm lobbying for Venice, Louisiana, definitely.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah. But I got to get going, brother.
Okay.
Guys, catch my show tomorrow night. Share Kai Kevin's website. Buy a couple of DVDs. And catch everyone later. Night, y'all.
All right. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. That was the landing crew, and you can catch him at 8 p.m. tomorrow right here. I'm sure he'll be live broadcasting from New York. It's the landing crew's show.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.
All right, man. Ah, well, Greg, this is, we're almost to the end here. We're almost to the end. And you're not going to get to fish till spring, are you? Well, at least until the boondoggle, right?
Yeah, more than likely. I may try to go out in the fresh water. The ponds opened back up the other week, so.
Are they
for some bass or pickerel.
They still ice free?
This Saturday.
Are they ice free?
Yeah, actually they are. The other weekend, I was home like 2 weeks ago, and Saturday, pretty much they all froze up and opened up about 4 or so in the afternoon as the sun was going down. And Sunday, they froze up, and not even half of them opened up that next day. It's just like crap. You know, it's like the first or second week of November, and the lakes were already frozen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was, did not make me happy. But, so, yeah, I may try to go out. I got a long weekend, so if I can get away for a few hours and just get a line wet, hopefully it'll hold me over till February.
I don't know how you do it, man. I'm like, no more staying in from, you know, Thanksgiving to, I don't know, whenever, you know, end of February. You know, I'm allergic to the cold. Everybody knows that, but I don't have to do that. I don't have to worry about that anymore now with my waders. So I'm excited about that, man. So far, it hasn't really gotten that cold so far. But it doesn't really start to cold weather doesn't start really heading in until, you know, probably about halfway through December. So, but anyway, right now, everything is, the fish is going, you know, fishes is going off. Fish are starting to eat, and I think it's going to be the same deal. Water temps, like, right around 70. So, it's the same, you know, it's probably the same deal this weekend as last. You know, we're getting a cold front about once a week, and kind of screws things up for a couple of days. But after that, it's usually pretty good. Fish kind of start chewing a little bit more regular. So that cold front is hitting us tomorrow, and that's the latest one, our weekly cold front here. It's not going to be anything nasty or major or anything like that. So I'm going to be out Saturday, so by Saturday it should clear up, and hopefully we'll find fish that are eating. Oh, man. All right, Greg. Well, I'm getting out of here. So thanks for calling in. I'm glad, man, it's good to hear from you after so long. Stop working so hard. You know, let us hear from you once in a while.
Yeah. Well, with the time change, it helps. Before the time change, we were basically working sun up to sundown. And by the time getting back to the hotel, we cleaned up and we were drilling, you know, a whole bunch of holes and just long, nasty days working in like a foot of mud. The area we were working in was just, it sort of reminded me a little of Jacksonville there for a little bit. I let my mind wander. Yeah, except we were carrying bags of sand and pipe and instead of dragging our kayaks. Would have much preferred to be dragging my kayak through that than doing what we were doing. But we got stuff done. Now we're sort of cruising to the end of this year and try to slow down a little bit. So
awesome.
It'll be good.
Well, hey, man, happy holidays to you, and have a good holiday. Be safe, and we'll talk to you on the flip side, man, and let us know how you did. If you get out this weekend, let us know. Let us know how it went. All right, man, have a good one.
Okay, man.
All right, folks. I am, it's time to, the powers that be only want me to do a 45-minute show now, so not just me, but all the KFR hosts. So, there's Jack Angler Adam. Hey, Adam. How you doing, man? Good to see you in. So anyway, to quick cover what we went over, traveling, the landing cruise traveling. The boondoggle, of course. I'm going to hammer the boondoggle until February. Chokoloski. Go to yakangler.com or the boondoggle page on kayakfishingradio.com. I am your host right here on a beautiful Tuesday night in Florida, right at Bad Bat Cast Central right here. I'm your host, Rob DeBoer, of Bad Bat Cast. You can follow me at abadbatcast.com. Also, yakangler.com. Make sure, if you're into kayak fishing, which who isn't, check out yakangler.com. And until next week, you guys have a safe holiday. Wear your PFDs, take a kid fishing, and I will talk to you guys later.